Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 28 of Unraveling. This week I am so honoured to have the beautiful Ban Hass with me. She is someone I have been following on Instagram for a while, and she shares some really very open and truthful conversations, which I just, they make me laugh, you know, when they're supposed to be funny. But they also have a really powerful, potent edge to them. And I just love how truthful Ban is and how, as you'll find when you listen in this conversation, how she really is genuinely just showing up as herself. And I love that. And it comes across in what she does and in the messages she brings across. So I am pretty sure you will really enjoy this conversation. We get very truthful about anxiety, something that both of us have it plays a part in both of our lives, and also about social media and how we can use social media to feel empowered and to actually serve us rather than it to always be about comparison or about bringing a more negative sense to our lives. So just before we dive into the show, I'll tell you a little bit about Ban. So Ban Hass is a BS-free personal trainer, fitness instructor, and freelance writer. And by BS, we mean bullshit-free. Ban uses satire, humour, and parody to voice opinions and make observations on the fitness industry, hashtag Fitspo, on social media. She is really passionate about talking about mental health, about self-love, and topics other than Fitspo, particularly why feminism is more important than fat loss. She is strong, she is unapologetic, but she will also admittedly say that she is a bit of an overthinker. And I just love her honesty and the way she expresses herself in this conversation and on her platforms as well. So let's now head to the show. Hi, Ban. It's so lovely to have you on the Unraveling podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm super excited about this conversation. I have been following you on Instagram for a while in that non-stalker way. so I'm really looking forward to chatting. So just to start off with the nice, easy question, I would love to know what current messy truth or messy truths you are currently unraveling in your life at the moment.
Okay, well, that's easy because my whole life is a messy truth. There's lots of things, to be honest. Most of them, I would say, are career related or future me related, and me being a bit overwhelmed by what I want to do.
That's quite a, I find myself in that place a lot as well.
Yeah. I mean, specifically, it's about where I want to take my future. I sort of have an idea of what I want to be doing in about 10 years' time, but then it requires me to go back to studying. And it's just figuring out whether I can mentally do that at the moment.
Yeah.
understand that. Yeah. There's always things to learn and to grow into, isn't there?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, good luck with figuring that one out. So let's just start by introducing you and sort of a little bit more to our listeners. I'd love you to kind of give me a small nutshell version of your journey and sort of how you've got to be doing what you're doing right now and what that actually is.
Okay, so I'm currently a personal trainer in London and also a fitness instructor. I work mainly in indoor cycling and I'm a freelance writer. Initially, exercise just helped me with anxiety, and that's why I stuck it out. I know a lot of people turn to exercise and fitness because of aesthetic goals. For me, it wasn't so much about physique. It was, but when I say that, it's only because I'd already dieted to get to where I wanted to be, not because I was so confident in my physique that I didn't turn to exercise. But the exercise part came after I had changed the way I was eating, and it just helped me cope with my anxiety a lot better. And I mean, previous to this, I absolutely hated sports. So I was never really an exercise person until about the age of 21. I then quit my job in the city working in legal recruitment to become a PT, and I had a career change, and I've been doing it ever since.
And how many years is that now? Not trying to work out how old you are, but you know.
I'm 31 this year. Okay. It must be about 4 years now.
Fantastic. And so what were you doing prior to that work-wise?
I worked in a recruitment firm, recruiting lawyers from private practice and organizations into other organizations.
Sounds good. Yeah. So quite a difference in your career then.
Different and same, because you're still dealing with people and you're still dealing with clients and you're still building a business. So what I didn't realize back then is that everything I did for 2.5 years prior to becoming a PT actually gave me an edge and actually helped me so much. It's crazy to think that that job would serve me well in the future.
I think that's really interesting, because I often think we quite kind of disassociate our like past careers and with our current careers sometimes if you've had a big change, but everything we've done in the past has led us to that place. And I've found the same with the like PR and marketing has been so helpful for me in my business now. So it's these things always seem to link in some way, even if at the time it feels like we're doing something completely different to what we really want to be doing.
No. I completely agree. And without sounding airy-fairy and saying, you know, everything happens for a reason, it really does feel like that sometimes. And I definitely don't think I could have done the job I did now with just a PT qualification. It was definitely doing something that was so totally out of my comfort zone that made it so much easier to become a PT, become a self-employed PT, and start from scratch. Because those things, they don't really teach you about when you're getting a qualification to become a PT. They just teach you about the body. They don't really teach you about the fact that you actually need to gain clients, keep clients, how to handle conversations around money.
Yeah, and all of those things are very crucial to running a successful business, obviously.
Exactly.
Okay, so you said that you came to exercise and from a place of helping to manage your anxiety. Can you tell us a little bit more about how your anxiety manifested? Because I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast also are kind of have struggled with or are going through times of anxiety, and I'd really love to be able to just kind of go dive into that a little bit more if you're open to that.
I am open to that, and what's interesting is that I touch upon it, but I don't really I don't know if you've noticed yourself, I kind of skirt around the subject. I make it clear that I do suffer from anxiety, but I don't really talk about it. I don't talk about what I'm doing to help it. So this this could be a start. My anxiety, I would say, started. No, I'm going to change that. My anxiety, I realized I had anxiety at university, maybe second, third year of university. But I literally realized just a couple of days ago that I have had anxiety since I've been a child. It's just certain situations, certain periods of my life, that anxiety is heightened. So the first time I really realized I had anxiety was genuinely, I couldn't do any presentations in front of people. I couldn't public speak. Just simple things like standing up and talking and doing a presentation in class. When it got really bad, I just burst out crying. I just couldn't speak. And the crying was a bit around humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle that I knew what I was talking about. I knew what I wanted to say. I had done the work. I have done all the research, all the reading into the subject I was meant to speak about. And I was at that time at a university. I was at UCLA in California. And the culture there, they're very, very outspoken. It's like the louder you are, the more you know, which is completely different to how I am. And when I had to do this presentation in a class, I just crumbled. I absolutely crumbled. I burst out crying and I just couldn't get any words out. And I, like I said, it was because I was so upset by the fact that I knew what I was talking about, but I couldn't get the words out. So that was the first time when I realized I had anxiety. Not just the typical, I have anxious feelings, but actual genuine, okay, maybe I need help with this. And just certain situations, not being able to focus on revising for an exam because I had so many things going on in my head. During exam period, not being able to control my anxiety and be able to answer the question because I'd be so nervous, I'd start thinking about everything else. I've had problems with sleep forever. Those problems haven't gone away. I can't really sit here and say, oh, I'm a PT, I figured out my sleep because sleep's so important. I can't really say that. I can say that sleep is really important and you should really go and help yourself, but I still haven't. I still haven't nailed it. It gets better, it gets worse. I go through periods of less sleep, periods of okay sleep, periods of good for me. Will I ever have a period of 8 hours sleep? Probably not. But I think kind of dwelling upon that makes it much worse.
Yeah. I love what you're saying there about kind of effectively the kind of overall thing is like not having all your shit figured out.
No, absolutely not.
It's like a constant work in progress, right?
I've been trying to manage. I have trying to help my sleep. For so long, I have bought every bloody pillow. You've never put it. I have literally drenched myself in that 35-pound pillow spray. I have taken everything. If someone even dares mention chamomile tea with me, I'll literally throw chamomile tea at their face. I've tried everything. I'm like, dude, I'm so way past tea. So much more than tea, you would not believe. I don't have it figured out. My anxiety can get really bad. It can be fine. It can be manageable. I think the most important thing for me is being able to manage it.
Yeah.
It's not getting rid of it. It's just managing it, knowing what I need to do, how I need to cope, and that it will go away.
I love that. And I think something that I've come to kind of accept, I guess, that anxiety is a part of me. It doesn't define me, but it is a part of me, and actually having tools to manage it, as you say, is what's really important. Because I think that it can be, you know, if you feel like you haven't fixed yourself, in inverted commas, it can be really disempowering. But when you've got tools that you can go to, and sometimes those tools work really well, and other times those tools don't work, and you have to go through a period of more anxious feelings, or I think the tools are really important. So what would you say are your most kind of powerful anxiety management tools at the moment? Because they probably shift and change through your life, I'm guessing.
They really do. But just before I go on to that, that was really interesting what you just said, because what you just said I experienced about just probably about 10 months ago, that feeling of, hold on a minute, I don't have anxiety anymore. This shouldn't be me. Why has it come back? That was what upset me more than the anxiety. That feeling of I've failed, and that feeling of wanting to put that blame on an external factor, my job, my industry, on a relationship, on a person. I'm very much like that. I'm like, I'm not someone with anxiety. I've dealt with that. Get out of my life. This needs to go. Kind of like that avoidance of, I don't want to accept this. This isn't me.
Mm.
And yeah, what has worked for me in the past no longer works for me. So back in the day, it was exercise. A year later, you know, you go to a doctor and they're like, oh, like, you know, have you tried exercise? And I'm like, dude, I'm a PT. I do exercise. I do eat well. I do this. What is currently working for me, what I've started doing about 10 months ago, just under a year ago, I did go on medication. I am currently on them. I've been on medication for just under a year. At first it worked. I think people who have been on medication can relate that at some point you're not sure if it's working or not. At some point you kind of start thinking, is this working as well as it was? Initially it worked. Sometimes I'm not sure if it's working. And then I realized, you know what? There's lots of conversation now around breaking the stigma around medication. You know, it's okay to get get what you need out of a bottle. But I genuinely think that that message is fine. But for a lot of people like myself, I actually have no problem with taking meds. I'd rather take meds than talk to someone. And I think that's a conversation that needs to be said. So I can preach, talk to people, guys, go talk to someone. Am I going to do it myself? No. I was like, no, give me the meds. Don't want to talk to anyone. So where I'm getting with this is that medication is important. It should be prescribed. You should go on it. But I also felt like for me, it was that band-aid I needed to almost go and then seek therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, you know, like, it's different orders of doing things for different people.
Yeah. So for me, talking to someone, I don't want to do that. Give me the meds. That's the kind of person I was. Then I realized that actually I need both for this to work. And I haven't done traditional sit down counseling. Again, that might come for the future for me. But what I went into straight away that I thought I kind of had I deep down knew that I would need this was CBT. Mine's very specific. Mine's very much, I get a thought into my mind and I won't let it go. I just can't let it go. And I can totally acknowledge that that thought is ridiculous. I can totally acknowledge that it's just a worry, but that doesn't prevent me from worrying. But it also doesn't make me do anything either. So it's not like it's even worth worrying about. And CBT, I'm just coming up to the end of my sessions. I don't know whether it's working, but I feel better.
That's a good sign.
So I can totally say, I don't know if the meds are working. I don't know if the CBT is working. I can be skeptical of everything. But what I can say is I feel a lot better. Coincidence or I don't know.
Well, whatever you're doing at the moment is working for you at the moment, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, trial. Just keep trying things is probably the biggest tip, and realizing that what once worked isn't necessarily gonna work. And that's coming from someone who really regularly exercises, who goes outdoors, who's never had a problem with motivating themselves to exercise up until the point where actually at the beginning of the year, I felt so low, so down that it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And that's when I knew that I really, really need to do something, because this was just not me.
Yeah. But what I think is really powerful is that when we know ourselves and listen to ourselves, we can kind of get a hat, like we can hear the messages, if that makes sense, that our body or our mind is trying to tell us. So I love that. And I find it really interesting, again, as we were saying, what works for somebody doesn't work for the other. I had CBT and it really didn't work for me.
Yeah.
At that time, but actually at that time, changing my nutrition, exercise, yep, doing things like that really helped. But then over the years, it's changed, it's shifted. And currently what works for me is actually doing less movement and more stillness.
Yeah, me too. My training has completely changed. To say that at the beginning of the year I was in a dark place, to say that, it's just so funny coming from me, to say that I text my friend, best friend this morning saying, you know what, running has changed my life. Saved me. And coming from me, it's just like, what on earth is going on? But it's working for me. So why would I not do something that's working for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, things work, but sometimes you need just that bit of help to get you there.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's, you know, again, being open to receiving help and support is been one of the lessons I've had to learn. Yeah. With anxiety, because I wanted to hide, I wanted to deal with it all myself, I wanted to cover it up and be strong and not be, yeah, not show it to the world. But actually the most amount of healing and the most amount of the most significant impact and changes around my anxiety has happened when I have spoken it out loud or asked for help, or just even connected with someone else that's also going through it.
Yeah, totally.
Ah, well, that started our conversation off on a nice deep dive. I like it.
Honestly, I was not expecting this.
This is what I love about these conversations, is you just don't know where they're going to go.
I didn't know that was going to go. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but there we go.
Well, I'm grateful and honored that you shared it with us, because I think it's just, those messages are really, really important. And yeah, I'm very, very grateful that you shared.
I think if it helps, I don't know how to say this, but people don't expect it from me, Lauren. They don't really, it sounds so cliche, but because I'm confident in my work, I'm confident when I instruct, I'm very, you know, I sound so loud, energetic, and it's me obviously, but it's also me having to think of someone else, me having to think I'm Bam. As soon as that microphone goes on, I'm someone else. Which in itself is very, very, is stressful. That's hard. That you can't just sometimes, when you just want to hide, just the thought of having to go do that exhausts me.
Oh, I feel you so much on that around teaching as well.
I'm exhausted, and that in itself puts me in a state. So another thing that helps more than anything is just scheduling in that time where I'm alone. That really helps me. Scheduling in time when I'm completely alone and chilled out, where I can absolutely do nothing. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I need that.
That's really important. And actually it's a simple thing to, I mean, it's simple in some ways, not so simple in others, obviously. But yeah, I think that's really, and you just saying that as a kind of, it just reminds me so much of, you know, having to kind of put on a brave face, I guess, and the exhaustion that can sometimes bring, and that in itself can trigger off anxiety, wondering if I'm going to be able to hold it together and not fall apart in front of people. That is one of probably the things that actually causes me the most anxiety, is this fear of not being able to perform.
me too. And on a really bad day, when I've had a shitty day, I'm exhausted. And you know what? Most of my exhaustion is actually mental.
Yeah.
Not even physical. Because in the same way that I teach a spin class and I'm on stage, half the time I have more energy to actually do the class and actually just be on the back row in a corner. I'd rather literally smash myself doing a class and have to appear happy on stage. Where you're not really working out, but still just having to be energetic in someone else. The thought of having to do that can be very exhausting. But I always just see it as, it's not about you. 45 minutes is not about you. They've come to get a great workout. They've come to release their problems. Give them the best workout of their life.
Yeah, and I don't know if you find the same, but I actually always find that when I've done it and when I'm doing it, it's complete, like it actually empowers me and makes me feel stronger. For some reason, the thought of doing it makes me anxious, which exhausts me. But when I'm actually doing it and when I've done it...
Afterwards, you're on a high. You're like, yes, life is good again. This is why I do this.
Yeah, but that constant cycle,
and then you crash.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? And it's learning how to deal with that, it's often made me think, oh, maybe I shouldn't teach, maybe I'm not supposed to do this because of how much it takes out of me emotionally. But then at the same time, when I'm teaching and when I've just taught, I'm like, how can I not do this?
Yeah, me too. I have exactly the same conversations, and the conclusion I've come to is that I have a limit. I 100% know that I will never add to what I'm doing now. I'm only from here on reducing. I think every single person around me knows that because I will not do one extra class. Not a chance in hell it's happening. You could pay me whatever, I'm not doing it because I know myself. Reducing, taking time off when I need to, and knowing that in the future I'm only going to be cutting back. So I know in the future, I know this isn't maintainable. I know this is now. I know that every year that goes by, I'm probably going to drop another class to the point where I want to get to the point where maybe I'm only teaching one class a week. And eventually, I know how I personally would like to get my kicks out of training others to do that job.
That's a really nice
I feel good
vision
about that.
To have.
I feel great about that. I don't need to be on stage anymore if it's going to be tiring me out. And it makes me happy. I want to do that.
I'm sure it will happen sooner than you think.
Good.
Watch it. You've said it out loud now. Watch it unfold.
I've had this in my mind for a long time because I have been inspired by fitness educators.
Mm.
And it's made me rethink what I want for my future as well. I don't, as much as I can instruct, and I don't really want to do it forever. I know that.
Mm. Wow. Well, I'm excited about that.
Manhattan Improvement School. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Okay, well, I obviously came across you through Instagram, through the joys of social media. So I would like to dive into that rabbit hole for a bit, if you're up for it. Could be quite a deep rabbit hole. But one of the things that I love about your account, and if anyone doesn't follow you, then they totally should. And I don't often say the word should, but I think that they should. And I love how authentic and honest you are, and how you just completely, as your, you know, slogan says, ban the bullshit. You just cut through all of that, the whole, am I allowed to say the word fitspo?
Why wouldn't you be allowed to say that?
I don't know, but you know, like these kind of words.
You can't be able to say shitspo. Say fitspo, mate.
I just love to know how you kind of got the confidence to share so truthfully on social media in a world that's constantly telling us to do something else.
Yeah. I'll be honest. You know how a lot of people come to me and say, I love how like controversial you are. I love how you speak openly about this and you're so brave. I don't feel like the topics I speak, I would never class the topics I speak about controversial. I class them as truth.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I just look at something and think, how are you not? How are we not all thinking this? And I don't find them hard to talk about because I feel like there's got to be a purpose to my posts. I feel like, well, that's what my account is. My posts, my voice hasn't exactly changed. My voice has never changed from day one. And it's genuinely because it's always been me. So I find it really easy to stay consistent and talk about what I'm saying because I believe in what I'm saying. It's never been Banhouse Fitness or Banhouse PT. It's just me. I am my brand. And then in terms of the more difficult posts, my posts have never really been about smoothies or recipes or how to make zotes. So it's always been about saying what people don't necessarily want to hear, but know. It's about saying some of the stuff other influencers will pretend not to see one of my posts because they don't want to question it. They don't want to ask themselves, oh shit, maybe I'm doing this.
They're not ready to see that reflection.
They're not ready to see that. And it's not like they haven't seen the post. They just will pretend not to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I get moments where I get panicky. It would only take one troll for me to think, oh shit, did I say something wrong? And when those things happen, you forget every other positive comment you've ever received and you just focus in on that one negative. And I'm just like everyone else. It really does worry me. It really does make me anxious, even when I know this is just a stupid troll. Even when I know I'm literally getting trolled by 13-year-old Charlotte Geordie Shore fans. I'm still getting stressed. And I'm like, what are you doing, Ban? But I'm still like, oh God, like, have I said something wrong? Am I a bully? Or you still have those thoughts. And when you get a bit of backlash, it's kind of normal to feel slightly put off by putting anything out there that might deemed as controversial. But like, I wasn't meant to post a safe green smoothie recipe. That was never my brand. If I did that, people would be like, what the fuck is going on with her? They would think there was something wrong.
Yeah.
But I understand why people wouldn't post some of the things I post, because there's a line between I really need to say something and actually I can't even be bothered anymore.
Mm.
And this is something I struggle with on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think I feel that sometimes it can be really scary to speak very honestly and truthfully about difficult topics, because you often don't get the engagement or you get negative engagement, and our instincts are to kind of go to like, what's wrong with us? Or, you know, why would, you know, does that mean people aren't going to like me? I mean, that's where I go to anyway. That's my like instinct. It's like, oh God, someone's going to not like me for sharing something openly. But then at the same time, I feel like my purpose on this planet is to open up and talk about things that are difficult to talk about. And it's only when I get distracted away from that, that I start feeling really uninspired. And I'll be honest, at the moment, I don't feel hugely inspired to be posting loads of things, because I have fallen back into that slightly kind of, you know, like what is my truth? And what do, you know, and when especially, and I mean, for me, I don't care about the numbers, but I do care about the numbers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really don't want to care about the numbers, but still there is a frustration, and I find myself, if I say something that is actually quite a vulnerable, deep share for me, that if there isn't a response to it, I automatically think, oh, people aren't interested. People don't want to hear this from me. I won't bother again.
Yeah. Well, if you post the caption with a picture of your ass, it might help.
I'm not sure anyone needs to see that right now.
But I get that. And how I have dealt with that, when those breaks happen, you just have to go back to posting what you want to post to get the love back. And what also really works for me is, whenever you're kind of thinking, I don't really want to post this, but I know it will get good engagement. I mean, my industry, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know what gets the likes, and you know, if you have a really heartfelt post or an informative post or something which has got to do with preventing injury, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
But if I were ever to play that numbers game of, I'm going to post this picture of me half naked because I know it's going to get a lot of likes, I promise you, the anxiety I get the lead up to posting, and then once it's posted, the anxiety I feel because I know that deep down this is not me is not worth any followers or likes.
Yeah, that's a really good
thing. That's how I always think about it. Like, is this worth the anxiety? If it's not, don't post it. If it is you don't care.
You've got it. You've hit it spot on there. And I know that my anxiety shows up when I am not in alignment with my true self.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Interesting.
I think everyone should think like that when they post. When they take on a partnership with someone, when they take on a collaboration and they're feeling nervous, you don't feel nervous posting an ad, #ad, when you know you genuinely believe in the product. You feel stressed and nervous when you know someone's going to be like, well, hey, Ban, are you really eating Special K? Or did they just ask you, how much can we pay you for this post?
Yeah.
It's that. Think about whether that is truly you, and is this post going to make me anxious or not?
Yeah. I think that's very, very valuable advice. And it's something, you know, it's that thing that I know, but you know, you still need to hear it.
I know.
Well, so what do you think? Okay. So there are lots of pros and cons about social media. What do you enjoy about it? Because obviously you spend time on there and it's your kind of platform. So there must be an element of joy from there, but also what are the things that you find most frustrating? Or maybe there is no joy. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? Like back in the day, I would have been like, oh, I hate it. Totally hate it. It's just so bad. The impact it has on mental health. But now I've had a few conversations with people. It's made me realize that actually, it's actually very beneficial for some people too.
Yeah.
I've realized that for some people, it actually builds a community. For some people who feel very lonely, who don't have friends, or I'm lucky that I have very good friends. I have a good support group that I can talk to. That doesn't mean that everyone does. And for those who don't have friends or friends they can talk to, or simply those who have disabilities who can't just go out and see their friends all the time, it gives them that network to talk to, which selfishly I never really thought about. So those are some benefits. Those are some positives.
Mm-hmm.
Negatives, I don't like that where we are today, in the world we are today, people are more interested in your social media following than what you can do, what you can bring, your qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spend a lot of time telling people, you know, I'm an instructor. I'm not an influencer. Just forget I have an Instagram in general. Forget I have a very small following in general. I don't want to ever go into something where they kind of say, post this, post that. That for me takes away some freedom for me.
Yeah.
And that I've figured out, that lack of freedom plays on my mental health.
Mm.
So, and I'm not prepared to give up any, I'm not prepared to almost sign up for anything just because of that.
Yeah,
I can't let that rule my day to day. My social media has to be on my terms. It has to be like a hobby almost.
Yeah.
I post when I want to post, not because I have to, not because someone has told me to, not because I'm getting paid to, so that if I ever do need a break, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, simple, but so life-changing in terms of mental health. Just that kind of, I don't need this. I choose to do this.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful as well. I think like it's creating your own set of boundaries around social media.
If you're deciding not, I know I am never going to be an influencer. I know I'm never going to be a blogger. I mean, as in like an Instagram blogger, not a writer, but an actual, you know, get paid to blog about this because I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I can't ever rely on an app because I don't know how I just see it as I don't know how I'm going to feel when I wake up.
Yep.
Comes down to that. Positives. What I do like about social media, which I've only just realized over the last year, is that when you feel like you've gone fucking insane and it's just you and you're thinking, what the fuck is going on in this world, you can meet like-minded people out there who are like you.
Yeah.
You meet people. I've met people who I have a lot of people who say they're supportive, but very few people will speak up. And when you meet those people who are like you and who aren't afraid to speak up, that's everything.
Yeah.
That makes it really worthwhile for me.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that for me has been the biggest thing about particularly Instagram, in that I've met the most incredible people. I mean, without Instagram, I wouldn't have probably had anywhere, like hardly any of the guests that I had on this podcast would have connected with. I wouldn't have discovered them. I wouldn't have learned so much. You know, like there are so many positives to it. But I do think it's, there is just an element of creating your own like set of boundaries around social media. And I like that you've sort of created that for yourself.
Yep. But only recently, I'd say only in the last year, have I become so confident with what I want out of social media. And I've also, I said this recently to someone else, if you get blocked on Instagram as many times as I have by Instagram, it really helps not giving a shit.
Yeah.
because you really, really think, oh, wow, this could all stop any day.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, is that...
It's great. Get blocked. Great advice. Get blocked
via... What have you been blocked for?
Everything. I get reported... I mean, even like just a couple of days ago. No, about a week ago, I was like, oh, my Instagram's been functioning well for the last 2 weeks. Suddenly got reported again. This post has been taken down because of community guidelines. Could be anything. Could be just voicing an opinion on feminism and I'll get blocked. Could be saying men are trash. Definitely get blocked for that. Yeah, get blocked all the time.
I find it.
And then essentially that really, really affects your visibility, because unless you're following me, basically you don't ever see my content unless you're following me, because I'm invisible.
Oh, I've never been blocked. Maybe I should try and get blocked.
It's great for your mindset, because then you're without, you know?
Yeah.
And anything else is like, oh, it's just a nice little hobby. It's never going to be a career because I get blocked every week, you know? Try it.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, maybe that can be my goal for 2019.
Men are trash, always gets blocked. What else gets blocked?
I'm sure I could talk about like sex or vaginas or periods.
Hey, no, because there's enough photos out there not getting blocked, but you'll get blocked for calling men trash. That's how it works.
Well, yes, that figures, doesn't it? Oh, interesting. I do think it's like a whole world of, I don't even know what, that a few years ago didn't even exist.
And it's not going to exist forever. I think that's also what people need to realize. It's not going to exist forever. Something else will take over. I mean, who uses Facebook anymore? You know?
True.
It's just going to suddenly just, we're going to be like, oh, remember when we used to have Instagram? It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it will be next. Maybe we'll all start to actually see each other in person. Shocker.
I think it will just be more, it'll be things more like stories and videos and blogs and things that genuinely terrify me.
I actually really enjoy stories. I find myself kind of rambling along quite happily because I know that in 24 hours it's gone.
Yes. So I originally liked that a lot as well. But I then started finding the talking to the camera tiring too. So what I'll do is, the funny thing is, I'll probably like post consecutively a lot, and that'll be me done for another 3 weeks. Then I'll do it again 3 weeks, but I can't do the walk and talk. I can't do the hi guys, just coming back from my workout. I can't do any of that chat. it's just I can't do a day in the life of.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I often find it's when I'm like out in nature that I just feel inspired to talk about something.
And you know what the difference is, Lauren? So when I'm out in nature or when I'm going for a really nice run, I'm so selfish that I don't even want to share it with anyone.
Oh, I like that though.
I'm just selfish. The same reason why I stopped posting my workouts. I was like, this is mine, not yours.
That is very true. And I'm very conscious about that with things like my yoga practice. Like I would never film my personal practice. I'd film me doing a practice to show to others.
Exactly.
But actually that's a sacred time for me. So I guess that's kind of the same. Whereas being out in nature, I feel like sometimes
it's so beautiful that you want to share it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that for somebody that hasn't maybe got the option to, like, I know that sometimes if I haven't been able to get out, but I watch a few people's stories and I'm just like, oh, there's just a tiny bit of tranquility.
That's lovely. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, we could probably talk about all these things for hours and hours, but I would like to know, as we draw this conversation to a close for this time anyway, if people want to connect with you and get a little bit more of the ban action, where can they find you? What exciting things do you have coming up?
Well, if you would like to do something exciting with me, my email address is at banhas.com. B-A-N at B-A-N-H-A-S-S for sugar.com. Because I don't have anything lined up. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at banhas. I'm banhas across all social media. If you want to come to some of my classes, that's awesome. The class is as hard as you're going to make it. It is for all levels. My goal is to make every single person feel comfortable. It's a hard, sweaty workout, but the goal is to make you feel good, not to make you feel like shit when you leave. And if you feel like shit, it's to feel good shit in a good way.
Yeah.
You pushed yourself in a good way. You pushed yourself because you wanted to push yourself, not because I'm screaming that you need to work harder. All down to you. You choose. You take control. I'm just there to guide you and make sure it's done safe. So come to one of my classes. There's info on that on my Instagram. Or if you want to train with me, I'm actually a personal trainer, not just a someone who's too chat shit on Instagram. Yeah, full-time personal trainer. So yeah, drop me a line.
I hope one day I get to come to one of your classes.
I hope so too.
Maybe not right now. I don't think now is the best time. Now, considering walking can be an issue.
I wouldn't start now.
No. Well, they say don't start anything new when you're pregnant.
Totally. And it's another thing. This is so not relevant to the podcast. It always makes me laugh when like pregnant ladies are like, I'm going to do yoga. I'm like, well, have you done yoga before? They're like, no, but I'm going to start. I'm like, no, don't start anything now.
Especially in the first trimester. I mean, yoga, prenatal yoga is different to just going to a normal yoga class. So there is many women actually start their yoga journey during pregnancy because they've never done it before, because they've always done the like hardcore sweaty classes. But I've just come back from doing my pregnancy yoga teacher training. So, and it could not be any more different to the types of yoga I have taught in the past, and the vinyasa flows and the dynamic yoga. It's like, yeah. they're obviously coming from the same space, but yeah. They're so, so different.
And I think that's so, it can be so dangerous if someone doesn't know that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think I would like yin yoga?
Do I think you would?
Yeah. I'm considering it.
I think it's worth giving it a try.
Yeah.
I mean, you with any yoga, I think it's really down to the teacher.
Yes.
That's what
I mean. So yours yet.
Yeah, it's not necessarily about the the type, but I mean, it's up to you. I find personally, for me, yin yoga isn't the best kind of yoga I could do for my body, because I'm quite hypermobile and I can easily overstretch.
Okay.
And I don't, that it just doesn't feel that great to me.
Yeah. I think it might feel great for me because it might balance out everything else I'm doing.
Yeah, but sometimes I think I don't need any more yin energy, because exactly. I'm pretty yin at the moment anyway.
Yeah, I need a bit of yin.
Yeah, definitely give it a try. Give it a try.
Thought I'd just share that.
No, I like it. And that's what's so, you know, great, is that trying these different things, as we said earlier, you know, what works for one doesn't work for another, and what works for someone, they can find, you might find that yin is your like magic place.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I'll be interested to see how you get on with that. just before we go, I have one final question, which I like to ask all my guests. What are you currently remembering about yourself that was previously forgotten?
Oh, loads of things. One of them I touched upon earlier. I touched upon right at the beginning of the podcast.
I sometimes forget that I actually had anxiety as a child. I forget that. I forget that it's not just now, it's not just my work, it's not just my relationship, it's not just external factors, but actually I've had these things underlying for years, which isn't like, it's not a really nice positive thing to say. So the other thing is I forget a lot of the time that I do know what I'm talking about. I forget that I really do doubt myself a lot. I'm very confident, but when it comes to certain things, I do doubt myself. And that's just because other people are very confident and good at faking it. Whereas I am a perfectionist, so I'd rather pretend like I don't know anything. But I forget that I've worked hard to get to where I am currently. I forget that I've put in a lot of work to feel a bit more relaxed and happy now.
I like that. I think it's very easy to forget what we know, though, because we're in it.
God, yeah, totally.
Often take things for granted that there's things I don't share or talk about because I think, well, everybody knows that, right?
Yes, and they don't, but you just assume they do.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of then makes you feel like, well, what? So, you know, great about me. What's my area of expertise? But actually, you have a huge amount. We just forget them. So I really love that. Like just remembering how much we already know.
Yes.
Thank you. This has been such a fun conversation. I'm really grateful for all that you've shared. I think people are going to love it.
Thank you. I hope so.
I'm sure they will. And I really urge people to check you out on Instagram and get in touch and go to a class, do anything you can to get, to get close to you. That sounds a bit weird, but you know what I mean.
Please get close. Only if you're female.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Is there anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
No, thank you for having me. Love you.
Thank you so much.
I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can continue this adventure over in my free Unraveling Facebook group, where like-minded souls come together to experience the messy truth of life in a safe online community. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.